Good morning. Do please be seated. Welcome to everybody this morning, everybody who is here with us in the physical body of the church, and welcome to all those of you who are with us via Zoom this morning. There's just a couple of notices to bring to your attention. It is on the week beginning the January the 18th to the 25th is the week for National Prayer Week for Christian Unity. And there is a special service being organised at St Andrew's Methodist Church on January the 23rd from 4 to 5 p.m., a service of prayer for the week of Christian Unity. That's at St Andrew's Methodist Church on January the 23rd from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. The collection plates are in their usual places, two at the front and two at the back, if you haven't already put any collection in. And now I'll hand over to Francis, who needs no introduction.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine, and good morning, everyone. And Happy New Year. I feel like I'm born again. It's a new rebirth, and you here always start with inspiration. I know we are on 16th day of 2022, but I still feel that there is a rebirth. There is a new inspiration in me. There is a new life in me. And I know everyone here definitely feels something about 2022. And I read quite often what people think of 2022 when they say Happy New Year. And of course, negativity about the year ahead. But as Christians, we look forward with positive mind and positive heart. The book of Psalms 36 helps us to reflect on that when it says, the transgression of the wicked. Say within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he fluttered himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found. But the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has lifted up to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He seeth himself in a way that is no good, and he abhorreth not to do good. But the last verse, which is interesting to me, is the mercies of the Lord from heaven and his faithfulness from the clouds endures forever. Praise the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our Father, we want to thank you this morning that you have given us a new day, 16th day out of 365 days in the year 2022. We gather in your name, we gather to worship you, and we gather to pray together and to fellowship and to listen to your voice and hear what you have to tell us, where you are leading us as kings of Methodist and kings of Baptist family together, for we cherish so many good things together, Lord. We thank you for these beautiful, wonderful church families, and we look forward to the future that you are still holding us, you're leading us to the ways that is best for us. We bring these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We also want to welcome those who are watching online this service, which is Streamline Life. And we are going to start our worship with the first hymn, 377, Love Divine or Love Excelling. May we stand then, if you're able to stand. Oh.
precious love, oh my compassion, oh thou in love, thy hope raises us with our salvation.
Please remain seated. We shall do a prayer of confession together. As your people, O God, we come to give you thanks and to give you praise. You reveal yourself to us in creation, in life, and in death, raising from Jesus and the continuing work of the Spirit in our lives. We hear and reflect in yourself revelation in the life of Jesus and of the impact of his life that he had around him. We know that we do not always live up to the challenge of Jesus' story. So in silence, we reflect on our failings as individuals, on our failing as a church, and our failing as a society. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive us. Amen. We know that in Jesus, God says to us, your sins are forgiven. Living God, in Christ, you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the ministry of the word, we'll hear the first reading from the Old Testament, Isaiah 62, 1 to 5, and the New Testament gospel reading from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11.
This is Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 to 5. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Havizba, and your land, Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you.
The New Testament reading is taken from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, the wedding in Cana. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servant, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Amen.
Thank you for our Bible readers. And now we go to the reflection of the day. In these two passages, there are a couple of theological discourses, topics that you can draw a lot of insight from. But I thought if we could title, although this title is too long, what meaning it could bring after the reflection today. Don't remain quiet in situations that demand action. Don't remain silent in a situation that demands or calls for an action. And I'm very sure that the church is all about social justice. The message of the good news relates to helping people feel they belong to God. So it's my great pleasure today, this morning, to say today's message is drawn from just an ordinary life circumstance. If you look at both of the texts in the Old Testament, Isaiah and Gospel of John have two things in common. Isaiah describes a situation of Zion where God says, I will not remain silent. I will ensure you are vindicated. I'll ensure you are restored. I'll ensure your name, Zion, remain relevant. And I'm very sure God may be speaking to the church during these times of strangeness, where we are faced with a lot of issues in the last 2 years. And we are asking ourselves, where are we really in the context of God's love? Therefore, Isaiah trying to recapture that thought, being a present and a future where we are looking to be. And therefore, the both passages in the Old Testament and the New Testament speak of a relationship. And marriage here is taken as a typology to reflect how God relates with the children in all circumstances of life. Therefore, we see various couple of words being used as hipspa. You shall be my ispa. You shall be my bahula. Now, when I was looking at the meaning of bahula, it means you will be my pleasure. You'll be my pleasure. All right? In all circumstances, God is delighted, happy with a children. You are his bahula. And when I look at the meaning of the word ispa was, let me call her a daughter, not an adopted, because it's a daughter of Prophet Isaiah. She was married to this prince called Hezekiah, who later became the king. And therefore, we see they are contemporary. They are both contemporary in this period of time. Although I might not be able to go through the details of marriage details and what it entails, marriage is a fascinating thing. Marriage is a great thing. And if you look at the thought of marriage in Cana in Galilee and how it involved invitations of all visitors across Galilee. I remember when I did my wedding around 31st of August, 2002. Right? And to sit and think, what do I need? So kind of confused, because when you're in love, a lot of things you don't know. So old men will tell you, come on, Francis, what you need to do, sit down and your girlfriend, think about friends around you. Because the context of marriages in our country, Kenya, is that you don't do it yourself. So because I was a minister newly posted in my second year, the church said, Francis, just tell us who you want to invite and we'll do the cooking. We'll do the budget. Wow, I felt relieved. For those who did marriages a few years ago, I'm sure you footed the bill. And you know how much it was. So for people to be able to be invited, I'm imagining Jesus and his disciples coming from all the way to Judea, to Cana in Galilee. People study geography, tells us it could have taken 2 days for them to travel to reach in Cana. Imagine. And if they reach in our tradition, if you have invited a people in that night, you have to think of accommodation. You have to think about food. So imagine this wedding, the host, whom we are not really being told who the name is. He must have been afraid to marry and Joseph, the mother of Jesus. And I'm sure that's why they are present. So in the biblical Jewish tradition, a wedding ceremony could take place 7 days. And the host was to provide food and wine throughout those days. You think of having a friend even visiting you for 2 days. Three friends. Think of us Africans, maybe five friends in a house. The trouble, waking up, preparing for them. And those who arrived early, the Bible tells us, they were given the fresh wine, which was the best. So as I was preparing this sermon, I realized, I asked myself, let me use my contest again, the African contest. We buy a lot of things, cups, plates, some which are very good. And they're only put in the shelf and they're only removed during the guests come in the house. Right? So you're picking the best to serve the guests. The same way the Jewish tradition, wine, the fresh one, the good one, was served to the guests who arrived early. St. John records also a list of guests who are present, disciples of Jesus who occupied one of the high tables, and Jesus himself. The family of his parents were there, and Mary was there. So they were the first, perhaps, to receive the good wine. And as they arrived, in that day, we are told, the wine went out. The Bible does not tell us what made the wine to go out. Were there people who are gate crashers? Were those who came without not being invited? Or was it a poor budgetary and planning by the host? So Mary, in the midst of everything, she sees and she sees a confusion, a tragedy, and she raises a red flag to Jesus. The wine has run out. And Jesus responds, "Woman, what have I to do with this?" Now, if you look at that response, what the response of Jesus to his mother, woman, arrogant, abusive, or disrespect. What do you think? Why did Jesus call our mother, "Woman, what do I have to do with this?" Was it a bully type of a language? Or was it an intimidative language by Jesus to his mother? I pondered, but I thought as I looked at the scriptures, John 1:14, it tells us very well that the word became flesh, dwelt among us, we beheld his glory as a glory from the Father, full of truth and full of grace. So here I see manifestation of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So he separates his two roles as the son of Mary and Joseph. And he separates his role as God incarnate, Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel. So what it means that Jesus was not going to do what the mother was asking him to do or how he wanted to respond. But Jesus wanted to demonstrate himself that in a difficult situation, God intervenes with us abundance grace at the appoint of our own ordinary circumstances. So this, as an ordinary ceremony, I see the manifestation of God's love at the very need of the host. Jesus saved the host, the embarrassment, the scandal, the gossip that could have taken place. Imagine you go for a ceremony, you invite for a ceremony, and you expected a glass of wine. Okay? You expected to be served, but it's not there. How will you feel? Oh, it was not a ceremony. I wish I knew I could have carried mine. Anyway, that's maybe somebody could say like that. But what if you went and you expected a full glass and you received only a drop? I've gone to some weddings because they know budget is important. They contract a person to provide catering and it helps. And here we see Jesus looked at the six jars. The writers, biblical writers, are telling us the six jars could have contained 20 to 30 liters of water. Imagine, that kind of water could have provided supply for the village the entire week. God, who has power over nature, commands its nature, water, to turn into wine. And he told the guest, go, give it to the host for them to test. I want to draw your attention only to one line as I conclude. Mary, the mother of Jesus, told the servants, do all what it takes. Obey all what he asks you to do. That's the last statement to conclude this sermon. How does this speak to you this morning, this sermon? How does it speak to you? First, we learn God intervened in very extraordinary circumstances at the very need that we need him. But quite often, when we need really God to act, in most cases, sometimes we find ourselves different answers. Sometimes we want to question God. God, I prayed you should do something about this, but I don't see it happening. Mary, the mother of Jesus, says, do whatever you have to do, obey. Now, when I thought of those words, because the Bible is very quiet about so many things, I thought, even if it means interrupting, disrupting the schedule, breaking the protocol to embrace the need of the day. So the question of today, do not keep quiet. When you see things happening and they need to be rescued, raise up your voice. Even if it means breaking certain bureaucracies, protocols to save a situation. And Jesus did that to save the host of the trouble of the day. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you today, thanking you for speaking to us in your word, which sometimes is complicated to understand. But we pray that your spirit will always help us to draw insights, to be able to reflect, interpret, and take action where it is necessary. May your word inspire us this morning to do what you want us to do and to discern what you want us to discern. We bring these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next aim is songs of fellowship. All heavens declares. As we prepare ourselves for intercessions.
Please be seated. We bring prayers for the church around the world in these uncertain times, and especially bringing prayers to areas of conflict, war, and natural disasters. We bring the church in Bangladesh and all the Christians across Bangladesh. We pray for Christians in Pakistan, and we pray for Christians in Sri Lanka and the churches in Ireland, and for the congregations and churches that we know, those around us within Kinsop, local ecumenical or partnership. We bring prayers to Kings of Methodist Church and Baptist Church in this place. May your words and actions, Lord, accord us to do your will for all the people. We bring prayers for the world and for all in position of power and influence, that they may strive for justice and for peace. Prayers for our own country, United Kingdom, and the neighboring countries. Pray for those in need, for those fleeing from conflict, for prisoners, for those who are sick, those who are awaiting diagnostic treatment, for those unknown to us, in desperate needs of prayer. Those admitted, those in home care, those struggling with illnesses in our houses. We pray for the vulnerable. Lord, may you draw near to all those in need in your saving love. Bring healing and hope. We pray for ourselves who are gathered here in the name of the Lord, that we'll be able to follow your examples and examples of your saints, to act, to respond, to discern what we can do to help those around us. Bring us now into the fullness of your eternal joy. For these prayers we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we share the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For yours is the kingdom, power, and then glory forever and ever. Amen. It's time for the Holy Communion. By the deacons and the Methodist representatives, let's stand together. If you're able to stand, please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We praise you, loving God, that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took on bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, shed for you and all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Please be seated. Okay. Say now, we pray your Holy Spirit upon this bread and wine, that these gifts may be for us the body and the blood of Christ. Unite us with Jesus forever, and bring us with all creation to your eternal kingdom. Together we share that prayer. We come to the sacrament table, not because we must, but because we may. We come to declare we are righteous, that we desire to be true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come not because we are strong, but because we are weak, not because we have any claim on heaven's reward, but because in our frailty and sin, stand in the need of heavenly. Amen. The bread we break is the sharing in the Lord's body. The cup we take is the sharing of the blood of Christ. Draw with faith and receive the body and the blood of Christ to keep you in eternal life. Amen. So the stewards will help us to do the distribution. So together we share the body of Christ.
So together we share the ask of Christ. Together we share the Hachaitim, God of glory. God of glory, we have seen you with our eyes, touched you with our hands, and the bread of heaven. Strengthen us in our lives. Amen. Thank you, everyone. And we prepare to sing All Things Are Bright and Beautiful as we prepare to pray for our offertory. Thank you very much. Right. Shall we sing together How Things Are Bright and Beautiful?
Lord, as we pray for the gift of forfeiture, we pray for the gifts of each one of us, for what we contribute toward your kingdom, including our organist today, for our ministry and for our time. We pray for our Lord. Now bless what we are going to give for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. May Christ, the Son of God, born of Mary, fill us with his grace to trust his promise. May the blessing of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us, those for whom we pray, this day
and always.
Amen.
Amen.
Go now in peace, and the Lord bless you throughout the days ahead.
After my PJ.